For the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, today is Tuesday, May 17th, 2022. I'm Senator Costello. The time is 12:35. And with me this afternoon is Senator Rivak. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And then we also have Senator Gray Jackson. Good afternoon. And I'd like to thank Carrie and Lydia, who are our recording secretary and the LIO operator for this afternoon's meeting. We have two items on the agenda. And the first, we're going to discuss Senate Bill 232 related to intellectual property of employees. And my chief of staff, Katie McCall, will explain the bill to the committee. And then we have Mark Billingsley, who's the director of UAF's Office of Intellectual Property and Commercialization. We will take questions, open and close public testimony, and then we'll look to the will of the committee. So with that, welcome, Katie, and thank you for walking us through the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Katie McCall, staff to Senator Costello. So Senate Bill 232 protects Alaskan innovators. Right now, the way our laws are written, an employer can try to claim and profit from an employee's personal creations. This bill will protect Alaskans' intellectual property. An employee who invents something, from widgets to software, applications, on their own time, using their own resources, will keep the rights to their invention if this bill were to pass. The bill also makes sure any disputes are heard in Alaska courts, not those of other states. Protecting Alaskans' intellectual property helps further innovation and economic development in Alaska by demonstrating our state's commitment to supporting those with new and unique ideas. Implementing the protections in Senate Bill 232 would provide assurance to Alaskan employees that their innovative ideas are their own. And, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to walk the committee through the short sectional analysis.
That sounds great. And we've also been joined by Senator Stevens.
So, the sectional analysis for Version A of Senate Bill 232, Section 1, AS 2310038, on page 1, lines 3 through 15, and page 2, line 1, adds a new section of law which prohibits employers from claiming rights to an employee's intellectual property if the employee developed an invention on their own time, outside the scope of employment, and without using the employer's resources. It invalidates any employment agreement which tries to give the employer rights to an employee's personal inventions. It also ensures employees have access to the Alaska courts to defend their personal inventions. Section 2, on page 2, lines 2 through 5, specifies that this act only applies to employment agreements on or after the effective date. So this would not impact any ongoing litigation. This would be something that would be changed going forward. And that concludes the sectional analysis.
Thank you very much, Katie. Do members have questions for my aide before we go to the invited testimony from Mark Billingsley? Okay, seeing no questions. Mark, thank you for your flexibility and waiting for the committee to start. We've been on the floor for a couple days now, and this is not our normal time, and I really appreciate you making yourself available. If you could place yourself on the record and your affiliation, and then give your comments on the legislation, please.
Sure, thanks. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you great.
Great. Mark Billingsley, MarkBillingsley. I'm the director of the Office of Intellectual Property and Commercialization at UAF. I'm also the director of Center ICE. It's the Center for Innovation, Commercialization, and Entrepreneurship. Thanks for inviting me here today. I think it'd be hard. There are a number of people in Alaska who'd be hard pressed to find somebody more ambitious and driven to develop an innovation economy in Alaska. I'm a patent attorney. One of two practicing patent attorneys that I know of in the state of Alaska, and the other one works for me. He's a great guy. I operate at the intersection of R&D, university R&D, and commercial implementation of that R&D. My job is to commercialize it. And then we developed Center ICE so that we could spur more innovation and commercializable innovations and entrepreneurial endeavors. I think there's a lot of I know that there's a lot of opportunity in Alaska. We've got some stuff going on. There's much more that can be done. The longer I've been doing this, I'm really getting well integrated into the community nationally. There's lots of ideas for things that can be done here. This isn't like a matter of us trying to get ahead. This is a matter of us trying to keep up with the rest of the United States, with the rest of the world. You know, this was pretty spur of the moment. I got an email from somebody who could have named Katie. And what went through my mind was I was in a group of venture capitalists probably like 3 or so months ago, and there was somebody who was sort of leading it, and we were talking about different venture capital ecosystems, and there were people from around the world, and I was relaying to that person what the scene looks like in Alaska, and he told me that I should go talk to the gentleman from Mongolia because that was the closest analogy in the room. And that's all due respect to Mongolia. Great for them. They're doing great things. It's a big country also. But if we want to be competitive with the rest of the United States, we've got a long ways to go. There's a lot of room to grow, and we don't need to be designing new things. We need to be programs and, systems, economic structures, financial tools. We can be taking what already exists and bringing it up here. Maybe in some cases it'll need to be adapted, but for the most part, everything already exists. We need to commit to it. And this isn't recommit the whole entire Alaska economy, but a portion for us to be, remain competitive. You know, we need to have some part of that. Or we'll just get dragged along. As for this specific bill, I kind of know the backstory to it, but without going there, just what's written, it seems like maybe somebody who would assert in their not giving legal advice. I'm not sure if I'm as an attorney, if I'm exempt from that, but so not legal advice, but the kind of thing that this bill addresses sounds like it would probably be an overly broad employment contract in the first place. If somebody put into place an employment contract that tried to own IP developed by an employee that was totally unrelated, didn't use any resources, totally unrelated to their actual job, that might be overly broad in the first place. But that's for the courts to decide. I wonder whether such employment contract would even be enforceable in the first place. And then it seems like whoever drafted this did a good job of recognizing potential retroactive issues with it being retroactive. Really though, that, you know, that's on the narrow aspect of this bill. I hope that, we can continue working with you all, on legislation, building programs, and not everything costs money, just putting the right tools in place to spur a stronger innovation ecosystem in Alaska. I don't have more. I don't have a prepared presentation or slides. This is all pretty quick spur of the moment.
Well, Mark, thank you very much. My question for you is, when there's an employee contract, it seems like there's already an environment where the individual will be designing and, you know, designing things or coming up with new products that might be taken to market. What if you're an employee at a business or you know, you're employed, but there's no employee contract, there's no expectation that you would be designing something within your capacity in that job for, you know, to commercialize, and you just happen to do it on your own. You know, I've personally never signed an employment contract that had anything to do with intellectual property. So does this bill address that situation where an individual on their own time designs something and then their employer assumes perhaps that it's something that they actually then have ownership over?
So there's different kinds of intellectual property. Big ones that you'll be thinking about are copyright, patent, trademark, trade secret. Default is that the inventor or the author owns it. So in that instance, the employer does not own it. The employee owns it. But a large organization and university for sure, because there's so much R&D type work going on, but also 3M. I would assume that 3M has employee language for all of their employees, certainly for all of their R&D folks, but for all of their employees that says, you hereby assign to 3M or GE or whoever everything you invent, using resources of the that is related to the scope of your work as an employee. The main exception there is invention for hire. If you're there can be an assumption that the employee or that the employer owns the employee's invention if you were hired to invent something. Now, if you're hired to invent something and your employer wasn't smart enough to put in your employment contract that we're going to own it, I'd be surprised. But if they did fail to put that in, there actually is a legal mechanism for the employer to retain to keep the ownership of that invention. But as you described there, the default is that the employee will own it, him or herself.
Okay, thank you. And then, so is it your opinion that this legislation puts into statute the default environment that already exists, that it simply is putting it into statute what already exists, which is that the employee owns their intellectual property?
Well, that is the default, but it attempts to overcome a contract that seeks to undermine the default. So here we're talking about Company X in Anchorage says, I'm hiring you and I own everything you invent as long as you're employed by us. Even if it's you take off 3 months on vacation and you work in your lab for 2 months of those 3 months inventing something totally new, I still own that. And it's totally unrelated to your work. I still own that. That is, and so that's a contract, right? You can put anything you want into a contract. Whether it's enforceable is a different question. And what this law is doing is it's saying, if you put that into a contract, we're not going to leave this to the courts whether that's enforceable. It's per Alaska law that it's not enforceable. So it's overcoming, it's not putting into effect the default, or maybe it's reaffirming the default by overcoming any contract that seeks to undermine the default.
Thank you. Do committee members have any questions? Okay, no questions. Well, thank you very much, Mark. Appreciate you making yourself available. I'm going to go ahead and open public testimony on Senate Bill 232. Is there anyone here in the room or online that wishes to provide public testimony? Okay, seeing none, I will close public testimony and we'll take a brief at ease. Welcome back to Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. We will go ahead and hold Senate Bill 232. Next on our agenda is House Bill 132 related to school apprenticeship programs. And I have an Amendment 1 that I will be offering. I move Amendment 1.
Object. Okay.
So there's been an objection, and I would like my aide, Katie McCall, to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Good afternoon. This is Katie McCall, staff to Senator Costello. So Amendment F.1 that you have before you would insert a new subsection on page 6 following line 22, which would state a contract under this section must allow an apprentice enrolled in an apprenticeship program under 29 U.S.C. 50 through 50C and the employer of the apprentice to compete for construction projects and may not require that the apprentice or employer be a signatory to a collective bargaining agreement. So the intent behind this amendment would be to prevent any sort of restrictive policies to allow any contractors to be employed and would not put extra parameters in place requiring that they be part of a collective bargaining unit, or sorry, agreement.
Senator Rebeck, do you maintain your objection?
Can we have a brief video?
Sure. Take a brief video. Welcome back. We'd like to invite the bill sponsor forward, Representative Fields. If you could place yourself on the record and comment on the amendment, please.
Zach Fields, House District 20. So I can answer questions about the amendment. I am not going to weigh in on the amendment because in my private sector job, I actually worked with the Anchorage School District to adopt the community workforce agreement that would be that I think this amendment addresses, and therefore would be a conflict of interest for me to weigh in on it. If people have questions about how they work, I can answer them. I'm not going to weigh in. Don't have a position on it. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Rebeck? I'm sorry, Senator Rebeck.
I'm just curious, does this bill, where does it go to rules or to finance?
It goes to Senate Finance next.
It goes to Finance next?
Mm-hmm. It currently does. The Education Committee removed, through the chair, the tax credit, so whether that committee referral stays on there, I think is TBD.
Okay, Madam Chair.
Senator Rebeck.
So what does this do? Do you put in plain English what this will mean to the bill?
My understanding of what this amendment would do is that state dollars awarded through deed to school districts could not be used for projects where there was a student community workforce agreement that had been put in place by a local school board. And a community workforce agreement is similar to project labor agreements that localities have used. They have additional language on student employment, basically.
Senator Rebeck, so the amendment would open it up to more opportunity. That's the intention of the amendment.
Can I get a brief of these?
Senate Labor and Commerce Committee is back on the record, and we're going to actually recess this afternoon until a later time this afternoon to give the members the ability to review the amendment and the bill, and also see if we can get some additional information before the committee. But before we do recess this afternoon, I did want to make a correction for the record. This committee heard the appointee Ramsey Bell to the Board of Pharmacy in Senate Labor and Commerce, and during the public testimony on the floor in a joint session, I had mentioned that there were four individuals that testified against Ms. Bell for the appointment, and I incorrectly stated that they were members of the Board of Pharmacy. I'd like to publicly make a correction that those individuals were not on the Board of Pharmacy. They were pharmacists, but they were not representative of the Board of Pharmacy. And so I will also be writing the Board of Pharmacy a letter apologizing for that error, and also mentioning that this was corrected in a public hearing in the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. So I apologize to those members who do serve on the board. And if anyone is interested in those who did actually testify, then I have that in my office, and it's also a matter of the public record. So with that, the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee will go ahead and recess this meeting until a future time today. The Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. It is 3:05 on May 17th, 2022. We had recessed and we were in the middle of House Bill 132. There was an amendment that had been objected to, and then we had a discussion and are back to further have further information on the amendment. And with us online is Alicia Maltby with the Associated Builders and Contractors. Alicia, if you could place yourself on the record and provide your comments on Amendment 1 to House Bill 132, please.
Absolutely. Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Alicia Maltby. I am the President and CEO of Associated Builders and Contractors of Alaska, or going forward, it'll be ABC for short. ABC was founded in 1950 with seven contractors that gathered in Baltimore, Maryland to create an association on the shared belief that construction projects should be awarded on merit for the most qualified and responsible low bidders. Nationally, we now represent 23,000 members, and Alaska sees about 127 member companies across the state. We champion the ideals of free enterprise, developing training for the workforce, and providing contractors the resources required to compete in the ever-changing world of contracting. Recently, unions were able to get a project labor agreement requirement, referred to as a student community workforce agreement, approved on all Anchorage School District construction projects over $1 million. According to the latest information from unionstats.com, approximately 75% of Alaska's construction workforce is non-union. This agreement will, in effect, make those 75% ineligible for work on these projects. This impacts our contractor community in a big way. For instance, just one of our contractor members, Watterson Construction, recently won and completed the following projects: $12 million for Chester Valley School renovation, $15 million Girdwood K-8 remodel, $8 million Rabbit Creek Elementary renewal, $16 million Airport Heights School addition, and the $11.7 million Eagle River earthquake recovery project. This contractor, the Alaskan employees, and the Alaskan apprentices that worked on this project will no longer be eligible to work on Anchorage School District projects. That brings me to the bill in front of you today. ABC is in support of the amendment that in effect says a school district must allow apprentices and their employers to work on projects without forcing them to join a union. Or in other words, state funding cannot be used to discriminate against apprentices who choose not to join a union hall. If the school district chooses to discriminate, they can do so. We are just asking that we prevent them from using state funding to do so. The apprenticeship bill should be fair and open to all, and this amendment will allow for that. We should not allow school district pre-apprentice programs to become union hiring halls. Pre-apprentice programs should have no preference or bias towards union or non-union apprentice programs, especially when using state dollars to fund them. ABC operates one of the largest accredited apprenticeship programs in Alaska with close to 300 apprentices. Without the protection of this amendment, our program will be excluded from participating in the pre-apprentice program, and our apprentices will be excluded from work. We ask you that you keep the market open and competitive by passing this amendment today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Alicia. This is Senator Costello, and it's my understanding that nothing in this amendment or the bill actually would prohibit associated builders and contractors from using a project labor agreement. It just simply doesn't mandate that. Is that my understanding?
Correct. Contractors have the right to put a project labor agreement on any project that they choose to do so. Most of our contractors are just choosing not to.
Okay. Do members have questions for Alicia Maltby with Associated Builders and Contractors? Okay. Thank you very much, Alicia. Next, we have Alicia Sierra, who's the Executive Director of Associated General Contractors of Alaska. Alicia, could you provide your comments on the amendment, please?
Thank you. For the record, my name is Alicia Sierra, and I represent the Associated General Contractors of Alaska. AGC is a similar trade association to ABC. We represent both union and non-union contractors throughout the state of Alaska. We have a similar policy as ABC, or a similar position, in that we certainly support the amendment in front of you. We do not support the use of project labor agreements on publicly funded projects. I'm sorry, do not support the requirement of project labor agreements and community workforce agreements on publicly funded projects. We are of the same position that contractors are free to use it if they feel that it would be a good tool for their particular project. But we are in support of this bill and supportive of this amendment.
Okay, thank you. And I'd like to invite the bill sponsors up, Representative Sponholz and Representative Fields, who are the co-chairs of the House Labor and Commerce Committee. And while they're coming up to the table, I was curious, did any do members have any questions for Alicia Sierra? Okay, none. Thank you. Welcome to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Go ahead and place yourself on the record and provide any comments on the amendment that you would like.
All right. Thank you so much, Chair Costello. This is Representative Ivy Sponholz, House District 16 in Anchorage. And while we appreciate the sponsor's intention, essentially what we believe that this amendment would do is prevent local communities from exercising local control. And our state's constitution really focuses in on local governing and local control to the maximum extent possible. We believe that local communities should have the ability, if they so choose, to go into project labor agreements, just as contractors can choose whether to go into project labor agreements or not. We think so should local jurisdictions be able to do so. And the project labor agreements ensure that those who oversee apprentices are well trained, well compensated, and can have a strong living wage. We think that that is a good thing to do. Nothing in this legislation requires anybody necessarily always participate in a project labor agreement, but does ensure. But the underlying bill would ensure that local communities who choose to enter into project labor agreements would be able to do so. And so we need to respectfully not support the amendment. And just to be candid, this amendment would essentially undermine, the intention of the underlying bill.
Representative Fields.
Zach Fields, for the record, and again, just reiterating that I'm actually not going to weigh in on this amendment because it does touch on something that I previously worked on in my other job, and I didn't anticipate that it would conflict with my public work, and therefore appreciate you giving me the opportunity not to weigh in. Thank you.
Thank you, and appreciate you coming. Representative Sponholz, it's my understanding that if local funds are used for a project, that it still would fall under the student community workforce agreement. So this is a carve-out just for the state funds, and We heard from Associated Builders and Contractors and also AGEC that they could choose to have a project labor agreement. Did you want to clarify any remarks related to the funding source?
I think that generally speaking, we think that local communities should be able to make decisions for themselves at the local level, and that the state funding is designed to augment local funding for those projects. But if a community is determined that it's in the best interest of their community to advance projects using a project labor agreement, we want to ensure that they are able to continue to do so, as you know, just underscoring our state constitution's emphasis on local control and local government to the maximum extent possible.
Thank you. And so the elementary schools that were mentioned, that Waterston Construction did work on, were there any problems with the construction of those elementary schools that you think should have been addressed, that would have been addressed through a project labor agreement?
I don't have any comment on any of those specific programs, and I will just point out that I did attend Rabbit Creek Elementary School, so I was glad to see that the work got done there.
Any questions of committee members? Senator Stevens?
I just wonder if Reverse Funnel, you can give us some examples, just some thoughts, so we know exactly what we're talking about. What projects would you find this amendment would cause problems for you?
Brief it is.
I'll call in at ease.
Madam Chair, okay. Can I just make a...
Senator Gray Jackson.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
just a comment, okay. So I was around as staff and also working for the Anchorage Assembly when project labor agreements were put in place in Anchorage. And they have been serving the community well. Because for one thing, you get qualified workers who get a good salary, but you know, you pay for what you get. And again, they've been working really well, and I hate to see anything happen that will prevent project labor agreements not being in place. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And so it's my understanding that the apprenticeship programs are all federally approved, and all of the workers receive the same prevailing wages. So I think essentially what this amendment does would be allow companies that do not require union membership from bidding on projects. And there's certainly a long list of projects that we have here that this just one company has completed on behalf of the Anchorage School District and others. So I just wanted to put that on the record, and we'll take a brief at ease. Welcome back to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. We will go ahead and adjourn today's meeting. That concludes the meeting. We have a meeting scheduled for 9 a.m. tomorrow. May 18th, and I will update the committee members as to whether or not that meeting will take place. So thank you all for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.